Well, Sunday evening, we have been dealing with the subject of worldliness. And I decided to, this morning, deal with the next lesson in that series instead of waiting a couple of weeks until I speak again on Sunday evening. This evening, Brother Carl Van Devender is going to be doing the speaking, and then next Sunday evening we'll be singing. So I decided to go ahead this morning and deal with our next lesson. The sin of stealing. I don't think that there's anyone here in this audience that has held up a grocery store or bank. I doubt very seriously anyone here in the audience this morning has stolen a car off the side of the road. I hope not, anyway. So you may be thinking, hey, I'm cool with this one. This is all right. We may be sitting here this morning thinking, this is not going to affect me. I don't have to worry about this. I can go ahead and get on cruise control this morning. I can take my nap, and everything will be okay. Well, I want you to hold off on that thinking for a little while, because as we talk about this subject, you may realize that this may hit a lot closer to home than you think. As of Wednesday night, I had not quite decided what I was going to speak on this morning. And Brother Van Devener came into the office and he said, I've got this sermon idea. And he starts giving it out, talking about it. Acts chapter 20, the Ephesian elders. And he starts making these points. And I'm writing these things down. I'm thinking, yeah, here's a good sermon idea. And it sounded pretty good. And I said, this sounds good. I may do this Sunday morning. And he said, that's what I'm preaching Sunday night. So I was about to steal his sermon from him. You've got to be careful about this particular subject. It may hit closer to home than you think. What about stealing? What is it? Oh, I think we all know that it's wrong. Well, I think we all know that the Bible condemns it. Well, certainly, we've talked about 1 John 2, 15 through 17. What is worldliness in the first place? Well, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what the world, being worldly, is all about. And again, the idea of stealing touches all three of these things. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I want it, so I steal it. I see it, it looks good, so I steal it. And I'm proud. That's mine. I deserve it more than anybody else. And you steal it. So it touches all three of these areas. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10, Paul writes, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. I'm going to tell you there are three words in this text that will touch what we're talking about this morning. Stealing comes from covetousness. Extortion is another part of thievery, and that we'll be talking about all three of these things this morning. So what does the Apostle Paul have to say about it? First of all, he says, do not be deceived about these things, because people can be. They think they can get away with it. But he makes the point that those who practice such things, such as stealing, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Friend, it will keep you out of heaven. When we think of stealing, we generally think of robbery or burglary. Maybe you think of that some of those real TV programs where they got the video camera set up, behind the cash register in the convenience store, and these armed robbers come in with their guns a-blazing, and Usually something funny is happening to them. That's why they put it on TV. But you've got somebody with a gun. Maybe you're watching Cops, and there you have a guy being chased down because he's stolen from a store. Or maybe he's robbed a bank. Or maybe he's stolen a car. But we generally think of robbery or burglary, which is stealing. But it may be practiced much more commonly than that. We can all be easily guilty of stealing if we're not very careful. And in this lesson, we're going to talk about that. We're going to discuss some of the biblical principles behind stealing, the problem with it, condemning it, and what it is. What is stealing? And discuss some of the different ways, various ways that we can be guilty of it. First of all, what is stealing? Well, the dictionary defines it this way: to take from another without right, authority, or permission. Have you ever taken from somebody else something that you did not have the right, the authority, or the permission to take from them? I don't care whether it's a pencil or their billfold. You know, the subject is not determined by degree. Whether $50 or 50 cents, you take something that is not, that you do not have the permission to take, you've stolen that. Now, we can leave a note saying, "I got this," and you know, and we know that it's okay because we know that the person will let us have that if we ask them. So we leave them a note and let them know. And, you know, that's one thing. I'm talking about taking something that we know we do not have the permission to take. Whether a person, company will miss the item or not. You work in an office, and you have the opportunity to take something that belongs to somebody else or to the company. Well, this company's not going to miss it. What difference does it make? You've taken something that does not belong to you. Whether the person, company can afford it or not. Do you know what the percentage is? Did you know, for example, that Walmart, they lose a lot of money every year from shoplifters. A lot of money. Did you know that they lose more being stolen by their employees than they do from shoplifters? And let me tell you this. You know, you take one individual employee who thinks, you know, Walmart's a $1 billion company. They're not going to miss it. So they steal it. Just something small. And then two cash registers down, another employee's thinking the same thing. Not anything big, just something small. And two cash registers down, another employee thinking the same thing. And before long, you spread that all over the country and you've got a major, major, major problem. Oh, they're not going to miss it. Kind of like taxes. Paid your taxes lately? April 15th. Were you fair? Were you honest with the government? Did you cheat the government? Well, it doesn't matter. Look at all the money that they're getting. They get all this money and they've got so much money, apparently they're wanting to give it out to everybody else. So, why not let me skimp a little bit on my taxes and lie a little, cheat a little? They're not going to miss it. But you know, what if your next-door neighbor thinks like that? And their next-door neighbor thinks like that. What if 50% of the people in your neighborhood think like that? And 50% of the neighborhood cheat on their taxes, don't pay what they owe? Then the government gets this money in and they say, "Oh, we don't have enough money to pay for all the things that we've got budgeted." So what are they going to do? They're going to raise your taxes. And you've got the honest fellow over here who's paying what he's supposed to pay. And the government comes back and raises his taxes too. You know, he doesn't reward him for being honest. His taxes get raised because you cheat. And that's really the way it works. And so, it hurts other people. Whether the person or company afford the loss or not, don't think like that, because everybody starts thinking like that and before you know it, you don't have a company at all. And small petty theft leads to greater degree. Oh, if I get away with this, I get away with that. And where do you think car thieves come from? Where do you think bank robbers come from? You think they start out by robbing banks? No, they start out on a much smaller scale. That's the way it works. The Bible talks about stealing in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul there tells us that we are to work. We are to work and provide for ourselves. Let him who stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. So we are to work. Stealing, he says, don't do that. Steal no more. theft. In Matthew 27:38, Luke 10:30, John 12:6, which was read a little earlier, Judas was a thief. He was the money keeper. And he got angry, remember? When Jesus was anointed with the fragrant oil, and Judas got angry. Why was he angry? Because they had spent this very valuable oil on Jesus. And he said, well, what about the poor? But Judas wasn't concerned about the poor. He was wanting the money in the money box so he could steal it. He was a thief. Robbery. Malachi 3 and verse 8. Oh, that's talking about robbing God there. Robbing God when we do not give to God what we owe Him. And we have robbers in John 8:40. Extortion. Extortion. Proverbs 28 and verse 8, Ezekiel 22:12, and Matthew 23:25. What is extortion? Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 8. Let me turn there. Proverbs 28:8 says this, one who increases his possessions by usury and extortion gathers it for him who will pity the poor. One who increases his possessions by usury and extortion, he cheats, he swindles. Pilfering, to purloin, to embezzle, to withdraw covertly and appropriate to one's own use. Titus 2 and verse 10. We are not to be pilferers, as the King James Version says, purloin, purloin. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. I'm sorry, Titus 2, 10, not 12. Not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, and they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Not pilfering, not purloining. Now, do not embezzle. Do not withdraw covertly and appropriate to one's own use. By the way, this same Greek word is used in Acts chapter 5. And Ananias and Sapphira, they sold that land and they kept back part. Kept back, that's the same word. They kept back for themselves. They misappropriated the money. They embezzled it. They stole it back. They said, this is all of it. And they kept back secretly what they should have been giving. They lied about it. So, what is stealing? It's taking from someone something that is not yours. You do not have the authority to take. It is extortion. It is keeping back. It is stealing from others, pilfering, embezzling, withdrawing covertly something that should belong to somebody else. If you do not give someone what you owe them for work done, that's stealing. If you do not work and receive pay for work not done, that's stealing. If you cheat on your taxes, that's stealing. In fact, we'll talk about some of those things in just a few moments in a little more detail. Stealing is a sin. I think we all know that. I think we all understand that. Thou shalt not steal. Exodus 20, verse 15. But what does that mean? It doesn't just mean that you cannot, take a gun in the convenience store and hold them up and take the money out of the cash register. There's a lot more to it than that. Thou shalt not take anything that you do not have the authority or permission from the one who owns it to take. Okay? Ephesians 4 and verse 28. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15. It is forbidden. Will not go to heaven. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 10. Do not be deceived about that. Those who practice such things shall not inherit eternal life. It is covetousness. Luke 12. And verse 15. Covetousness, of course, will again keep us out of heaven. It is a violation of the law of love. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Paul writes, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law for the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying. Namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Stealing is a violation of the law of love. If I love my neighbor, I'm not going to steal something that belongs to him. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, Matthew 7 and verse 12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Violates legitimate means of gain and transfer. In Proverbs 13 and verse 11, Ephesians 4:28, we are to work. We are to labor. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11, the wise man says, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. By the way, remember this, because we'll talk about it a little later in the lesson. Stealing is inseparably linked to honesty, or dishonesty, I should say. Dishonesty. It comes from one not being honest. Stealing and dishonesty have a lot to do with one another. Ways that we can be guilty of stealing. Oh, we can take something small, as you see on the picture there. I'm a thief, I stole from Walmart. I don't know if they do that here or not. But that's not a bad idea, really, to, you know, put a sign on somebody that's been caught shoplifting, put them out in the parking lot, and let that be their community service, let them walk up and down in front of Walmart. How shameful is that? People ought to be ashamed for doing something like that. I don't care how small it is. Of course, I know Walmart, they have a limit. If it's under so-and-so, then they'll take care of it in-house. If it's over so-and-so, they have to call the police. I know all that. But take something small. The principle doesn't matter whether it's 50 cents or $50 or $100. Stealing is stealing. And turn over with me to the book of Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. What does the Lord say about those who are faithful in the small things? Luke 16 and verse 10 says this, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. So my friend, let me tell you something. If you'll steal a pack of gum, it won't be long. You'll be stealing something that's a lot more expensive than that. The character, there's a flaw. You need to work on it. You need to think about it. If we take something small, we're still guilty of stealing. Or take pay for work that we have not done. Taking pay for work that is not done. I was in construction for 17 years, and I worked around people who had this attitude that, you know, as long as the boss wasn't around, I can take a break. And they figured out, you know, I wasn't a snitch. I didn't tell on them. So they did that quite a bit. And later, as I climbed and received more responsibility, you know, I caught them quite a few times that I would go from job to job, and I would catch them with their feet not up on a desk, but they would have it up on the water cooler. Or they'd be stretched out on the pile of lumber out in the front yard taking a nap. They'd be curled up under the shade tree drinking Coke or beer. And our boss didn't permit that at all. Taking pay for work not done. It was kind of frustrating, too, knowing that this work has to be done and you're the only one there doing it and you're not getting the help that you need, that doesn't help. But in fact, right there back in the book of Luke chapter 16 and verse 12, Jesus says, "And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?" You're not going to be successful in life if you are a lazy person not giving somebody what they deserve. So taking work or taking pay for work that's not done, friend, that's wrong. It's stealing what it is. When we are at work, we need to work hard. We need to work. Not paying bills. Romans 13 and verse 8, owe no man anything. And the idea is we need to pay what we owe. Pay it off by the agreement that we've made. Keep our agreements. And so we stop paying our bills and we think, well, you know, if I don't pay, they'll eventually come get it and then I'll file bankruptcy and I can protect myself. That's stealing. If that's your idea. Gambling. Gambling. What about gambling? Why in the world, Don, would you classify gambling as stealing? That's not stealing. When the other people, I mean, they put their money down and I put my money down and we're all in agreement with this and it's just a game. Friend, let me tell you something. What you're doing, it may be by consent, but it's theft by consent. You're taking what belongs to somebody else. And you haven't received authority for them to take it. They're not putting their money out on the table to give to you. They're putting their money out on the table so they can get your money. That's what they're doing. They're placing their bets at the window at the horse track to get your money. They're not placing their bet at the window to give you their money. It is theft by consent. Just because the other person may throw down some money on the table doesn't give you the right to take it. Or what about not paying others for the work that they do or the service that they render? You know, there are scam artists out there all over the place. And you hear on the television all the time, you know, do not pay people ahead of time. Wait until the work is finished, then pay them. It's very, very foolish to pay people up front. Don't do that. Because that'll probably be the last time you see them. So wait until the work is done. But you know, there are other fellows out there who are just as bad. That's the people who order the work to be done. They get the people out there to do it. They do it. They do a good job. And then they come out and they won't pay them for it. That's wrong. That's stealing. You have agreed to have a job completed. And the people that you hire, they do it. And then you refuse to pay them. Now, people may look for some small thing, some problem with the work done, and refuse to pay because of that. Now, if they didn't do a good job, that's one thing. But trying to find something wrong with it so I don't have to pay them, that's another. Not pay others for work or service that rendered. We see in the Scriptures that kind of thing often. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 13 deals with that principle as well as does 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 6. Leviticus chapter 19. Turn over there and see. There are a lot of passages in the Old Testament that deal with this principle. But here's one. Verse 13 says, "You shall not cheat your neighbor nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning." And don't drag it out. You pay the people that work for you. You pay them now. Because, you see, he's working for what reason? Put food on his table. To provide for his family. So, you need to pay him. And pay him now. Don't wait. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "And no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified." Now, the idea is that when it comes to defrauding or taking advantage of another, that's stealing. That's wrong. What about this one? Not respecting copyright law. What about computer software? You know, after so many years, when companies update their software, they may release the previous copyrighted copy and turn it into shareware. And that's fine. And you can pass it around and do whatever you want to with it legally at that point. But while it is under copyright law, in fact, a lot of these companies have gotten smart enough to lock it in such a way that you can only use it so many times, and then you get on the internet next time and it notifies the company that you're using it. But what about copyright laws, computer software, music? What about music? Get on the internet, get on some of these shareware sites, and download albums. What is that? You do it for free. A music artist makes a record, he puts it out to sell, and it's copywritten. No one has the right to make copies of that record. They are supposed to buy it. Well, he's rich and he's got all that money anyway. Well, that may be true, and they may be charging too much. But one of the reasons why the prices go up is because there are people who are bootlegging the stuff. If everybody paid for it, the prices would be a lot lower than they are. So the bootleggers just hurt everybody, including themselves. Or movies. Bootleg movies. When Brandon was in Iraq, this was legal. He did this legally. They had a store set up there in the military compound where they sold movies. Now, these movies were like the bootleg movies that you get. They were like filmed at... See, people in the military, they couldn't go to the theater every Friday night and watch a movie. So when movies came out, they would get the DVDs of somebody who had videotaped the movie screen and put it on a DVD and send it over there and sell it to the soldiers. And that was legal there in Iraq. They could do that on a military base. I don't know what they did to get the permission to do it. I don't know all the details, but that's the way it worked. But he bought some of those things. And, you can't do that here. That's illegal. Not respecting copyright laws. What about even things such as our songbooks? Songs are copywritten. And we must abide by copyright law. I think, there's permission to copy out of the book for some reason, for some purpose, like funerals and things like that. But we need to abide by copyright law. Deliberately cheating or taking advantage of others. Well, when we cheat and take advantage of somebody, and we could do that in a lot of different ways. Luke chapter 3 and verse 13, we have this instruction. Luke 3, 13. In fact, let me back up to verse 10. So the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" He answered and said to them, "He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise." Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what is appointed for you." Likewise the soldiers asked him, saying, "And what shall we do?" So he said, "Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages." So What do you do? Well, you do not take advantage. You may have authority. Don't take advantage. Don't abuse what you have, what authority you have to take from others. Let me illustrate it this way. Deliberately cheating or taking advantage. Have you ever noticed oil prices go up just a little bit? Gas prices the very next day, you know, they'll go up several cents. And bad news comes out on Wall Street. Gas prices shoot up. It gets vacation day season. Prices shoot up before vacation season starts. Just shoot up. But then the oil goes down. Vacation season's over. And the prices, they start to drop just a little bit. Now, I will say this, you know, back people really started fussing and people stopped driving. People stopped doing a lot of things when gas was up almost $4 a gallon. And the gas companies lowered the prices. I think there was a lot of pressure on them to do that. But I've noticed that in the past. Oil prices go up and, man, gas prices shoot up. But oil prices go back down, gas prices stay up there. You've noticed that. Deliberately cheating or taking advantage. Yes, there are companies out there that cheat and take advantage of consumers. I watched a movie 2 weeks ago. I got it a while back when I bought Fireproof at Walmart. And I hadn't watched it. I it was just sitting there on the television. I finally broke it out and watched it a couple of weeks ago. It was late on a Friday night. And what the movie's about is this car dealer runs a used car lot, reminded me of Brian Harden, except for his character. Run this used car lot, and he jacked up the prices of his car, $2,000, $3,000. He would tell a customer, they'd come on the lot, yeah, I'd give you a good price on this, baby. You can get a good deal on it. And the customer would ask, well, how much you got in it? He'd say, oh, I paid $6,500, when he really paid $4,500. I paid $6,500, I tell you what, I'll give it to you for $7,000. And he did that, and his employees that worked with him, he taught them how to do that, and told them to do that. And so they did. In fact, one of them, he was pretty good at it. He would jack it up even more. He would get as much as he could get out of it. And he did that for a while. And finally, one day, his son was in the office with him. And his son overheard him talking to his employees about what they were doing. And that night, this man's son had his friend come over to spend the night. And they were sitting in the floor playing this game. The little boy's about 10 years old. And his friend asked him, says, what are you going to be when you grow up? You want to be a car dealer like your dad? The little boy says, no. It's the last thing I want to be. My dad's dishonest. He cheats people out of a lot of money. And I don't want to be like my dad. His daddy was sitting around the corner, overheard his son say that. He began to reflect on what he had been doing. And he began going to church, and he changed his attitude. So he went back to the car lot, dropped the prices on the cars, and began at that moment in time to do fair service, to sell cars for fair market price, and do things the right way, knowing that God would bless him if he did. Because he was struggling as it was. So he dropped his prices. How is that going to make things any better? Just so happened that he had done this, been doing this for a couple of weeks, and man, he was really struggling now to make the bills. But he was sticking to his guns. There was this guy that came and asked for a job because both of his employees quit because they weren't making enough money. And they were mad because he would not let them cheat them. So he left. They left. And so he got this new guy that came in looking for a job, just right out of college, So he gave him a break and said, okay, I'll give you a job, but there's one thing that I require. You don't overcharge for your cars. Here's the price. Here's the value. This is what we're going to do. He says, but every once in a while when you have somebody come up on the lot that has a lot of money, you can tell it. What about them? Nope. Fair value. We're going to do what's right. So the guy worked for him for about a month. And then after that, he has to go. And a couple of days, this fellow who owns the car lot sitting in his living room, got the television on, wondering how he's going to pay his bills because he's not got the money coming in. And this guy that he had hired was on television. He was a reporter. Worked for a national news agency investigating used car lots. And all these car lots that they had been investigating, they were all crooked. They were all doing what this man had been doing. But they said, we found one car dealer that was fair. He was honest. It was him. And the next day, the car lot was full. Sold every car on the lot. Had to get more cars. And so, the moral of the story is, you do what's right, you'll be rewarded in the end. There is no benefit from cheating or taking advantage of other people. It doesn't help you. It certainly doesn't help them. It just demonstrates that you have a terrible, terrible character problem if you're willing to take advantage of somebody else. That's stealing. This man was a thief, wasn't he? You know, when it comes to stealing, we need to do what Paul said in Ephesians 4:28. Let him steal no more, but let him labor with his hands. We need to work. We need to work for what we get. We need to be honest people. An honest day's work for an honest pay. We need to work hard. And I believe the Lord will bless us. He'll give us what we need. He may not give us what we want, but He'll give us what we need. Let us never cheat or take advantage of another. Don't manipulate. Don't try to take advantage of other people. And I don't care if they're not very smart. That doesn't give you the right to take advantage of them. Let us never cheat or take advantage of another person. Even if they are rich. Even if they do have a lot of money, that doesn't mean that we have the right to take advantage of them. Let us be honest people. We need to be honest in everything that we do. And I do think this is the key. Honesty. Integrity. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, I'm going to leave this with you. 1 Peter 2 and verse 12. Verse 11 says, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, worldliness. Verse 12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Having your conduct honorable. You know, it used to be years ago when a handshake, that was enough. No, we don't live in those times anymore, do we? Can you trust somebody else? Can you trust that they're going to keep their word? That when they sell you something, that, you know, a handshake, will that do it? No. You better have it in writing. You better check out the small print. You've got to be careful. There are a lot of crooks out there. Let's not be one of them. Let's be people who serve the Lord. Oh, we've talked about various things. We've talked about the sin of fornication. We've talked about dancing. We've talked now about stealing. Worldliness is in the church. It's a problem, and we need to think about these things, and we need to see what the Bible has to say about it. We need to come out of the world and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not that which is unclean. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never come out of the world. Maybe you're still there. You're defiled by sin, and you need to have your sins forgiven through the blood of Christ. Well, you do that by expressing your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You have to believe in Him. Then you have to express that faith, confess. Then you have to repent of your sins. And by the way, the man in the movie Flywheel, you know what he did? He went back in his records. And he found where he had overcharged all these people, and he went to each one's home and repaid them the money. I thought that was really good. That example is something you don't see very often. Repaying for the wrong that we've done to somebody else is a part of repentance, if possible. If possible. We need to make right what we've done that's wrong. We can't always do that, but we can try. We need to repent of our sin, turn away from sin and do what's right, and be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of our sins. Acts 2 and verse 38, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here and you need to obey the gospel. Well, do that this morning. Maybe you have once obeyed the gospel and you've fallen away from the Lord, whatever sin you may be involved in, whatever means of neglect you've entered into, you need to repent of that. You need to confess. You need to return to the Lord. You have the opportunity to do that now. Won't you come as we stand and sing?